just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. What a shot, man.
Well, yeah, us old geezers sometimes can hit the mark. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. We'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues, the very serious issues of creation evolution, where we came from, which has a bearing maybe of
on where we're going. And we do get lightheartedly because it's a lot of fun to do it that way, and yep. Maybe you'll like it more, too.
Yeah, you might even listen and give us a little bit more time in hopes that we'll make some sense. But anyway.
Well, you digress.
I digress. We always digress.
Digress us to Wyoming then, would you please?
Digress to Wyoming because today's episode on Sink the Beagle is going to take us to Wyoming. We're actually going to be playing among the bunny rabbits. There's a thousand million bunny rabbits where I was this summer.
Jackrabbit.
What's a jackrabbit have to do with bunny rabbits? They're cute little bunny, cute things. Yeah. Flopping all around in the badlands of
Eastern. Survival of the fittest through reproduction, yes. I can see that.
But. Survival of the fittest. The ones that have the most babies wins. That's
like
what
the
Darwin
rule
said.
The earth.
Bunnies are going to rule the earth. Well, anyway, in eastern Wyoming, they're certainly ruling that earth. There are millions of them there. Right in the middle of Bunny Land is a place that I spent a few days this summer doing something that I've wanted to do since I was knee-high to a brontosaurus. Well, to an apatite. Well, I was knee-high.
Meet a supermodel?
Okay, the second thing I wanted to do. No. But anyway, what I've wanted to do was to dig for dinosaur bones.
Oh, man,
everybody,
cool.
Listener, I know you are listening to me and you're saying, I would so like to go dig dinosaur bones. Isn't that right? Okay.
I think you're nuts.
No. Come on.
Okay. What was it like digging dinosaurs?
Well,
Stan?
What I got to do this summer was join a university crew that was out there in the badlands of eastern Wyoming digging up dinosaur bones. And I joined the crew and I got to do a little of the work myself, digging around in what was mudstone at basically all around these very interesting. Yeah, it was wet at one time. And we found bones of dinosaurs. Now this is an area. This is called the Lance Formation, and the Lance Formation is right at the tippy tip top of what everybody's heard of, the Cretaceous formation. The Cretaceous is...
No, isn't that the barrier, the K2 barrier? Isn't that where all the dinosaurs... KT.
Yes.
I always go K2. That's a mountain I saw in Nepal.
K2.
KT is the death barrier where no dinosaurs live above it in the geologic
Just
cone.
A few inches above this barrier is basically there are no more dinosaurs to be found. So evolutionists have long thought this to be about 65 million years ago, and right about there, something took out the dinosaurs.
So you're at the very top of the dinosaur grave land, and you're getting you're digging the very last the last living dinosaur.
The last dinosaur.
You might have had their bones in your hands.
I could have had the very last one that... whatever they did in making sounds.
Well, they
or
died.
Breathed. They did die. And we dug up the bones of dead dinosaurs. Let me tell you a little bit about what we found.
What'd you find, Stan? Tell us.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you anyway, even if you don't ask.
Well, I don't want to.
Tell us,
please.
Okay. What we found was bazillions of bones from a particular dinosaur called Edmontosaurus.
For those of you who are unaware of Stan's mathematical, bazillions means a lot.
That's a lot, man.
A lot. How many dinosaurs were in this?
Edmontosaurus. First of all, let me tell you what an Edmontosaurus is.
Is it named after Edmund?
Edmund. Edmonton. Like Edmonton, Canada?
Yeah, my dad's name was Edmund.
Oh, Edmund. Edmund. Okay, it means Edmund's lizard.
Oh, no. My dad's lizard. he's down there too with him. No, he's buried too.
Edmonton. Actually, it's Edmontosaurus, named after Edmonton because they're found up there as high as that in Canada. But these hadrosaurs. They could have killed
them. Hadrosaurs. Okay, I know what a hadrosaur is.
What is a hadrosaur?
A hadrosaur is a dinosaur that stands on two legs. They're bipedal, aren't
they?
Which means they ride bicycles. No.
They ride bicycles. They're bicyclists.
No.
Bipedals means two legs, walks on two legs.
Tour de Canada.
And they are, these are big ones. Hadrosaur. They're also called duck-billed dinosaurs for the shape of their heads. Yeah. But you would run when you saw these guys, these flock of them coming toward you, 20 to 30 feet tall, or at least in length, they stood on their back feet. Yeah, there would be a couple, you know, they'd be up there. We're looking at the top of the studio. The head would be above
feet.
There. Would
be about three studios.
Ouch. So these are big dinosaurs, and we found big bones of these big dinosaurs, leg bones.
Any heads?
No heads, actually. Broken pieces of heads. Yeah, broken skull. And here's the thing. What we found, John, were not skeletons as such, but we found disarticulated bones. You know what disarticulate? We do a lot of disarticulating here.
That means kind of just breaking off sentences and ideas that don't connect together at all.
Unconnected thoughts.
Kind of like
random
bicycles
thoughts.
And dinosaur digs. Okay. No, it's
disarticulated means bones that were separated. And we never, ever, ever found two bones together.
Well, I guess it's kind of like if you took one of those skeletons, put it in a bag and rolled it all around until none of the bones, there's a pile of bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
What else was it besides disarticulated? What else was a feature of this formation?
Well, another feature was the way these were deposited, because we had the biggest bones at the bottom of the formation, the leg bones and such. Then up above them, we have smaller bones like vertebrae and so forth. And then up above there, we'd have even smaller bones, you know, like tendons and things, which are not bones, but fossilized tendons, and smaller, lighter bones were at the top. And so we have this was a graded bed, for goodness sakes, of dinosaur bones, just like rocks. Yeah, big ones, medium, and then little ones going up to the top. Mm. And this, along with it being disarticulated bones, it says that these were rolled here from some other place.
Rolled.
Rolling dinosaur bones.
Rolling dinosaurs, rolling stones.
Rolling bones, baby.
Rolling bones. New band.
Seven, yeah. So they were rolling these bones for many miles, apparently, because this is a fairly large formation. And they've done some studies, because everybody wants to know, okay, how many dinosaurs are we talking about here if you have so many leg bones?
20, 30,
you know,
50?
Yeah, okay. Well, when they do a concentration in one part of this formation, they see, okay, there's so many bones per square meter, right?
Yeah,
let's go way over there and do it there too. Same concentration. Let's go way over there on the other side of the canyon where that formation, you can still see it sticking out. Let's go over there. Same concentration.
Oh, wow. So how big is the area?
So the whole big area, they calculated, I think it's miles, square miles. They've decided that there's somewhere between 20 and 30,000 hadrosaurs represented.
That's a herd, that's not more than a herd.
That's more than a herd.
One big herd.
You wouldn't be very happy to see a bunch of quacking dinosaurs in the thousands.
So what we have here is a layer. What we have here is the top of the KT barrier, the end of the dinosaurs, the last of the dinosaurs.
The last of the dinosaurs.
And there's 20 or 30,000 of them
just
together,
in this one
all
formation.
Buried in one place in one formation.
Yes.
You
said it well.
Edmonton
and they're all disarticulated, so they probably died somewhere else. Yeah, and got rolled here.
Now, how do you roll something there?
With a lot.
What are they
in? Well, it's mudstone. Does that give you a clue?
Okay, so basically what you have then is a big rolling wave or rolling mud wave full of these
bones.
They kept
turning these bones over
and scraped
them out.
And the bottom bones are riding on the bottom of the wave.
The big ones, yeah.
And the other bones are riding higher up in the wave because they're lighter.
The lighter ones. They're lighter,
It's much like, I remember a show in the past when we were talking about the geologic column and the formation of the sedimentary layers.
Yes.
We were talking about the phenomena of turbidity.
Yes.
In other words,
turbidity
up in the North Atlantic back in the first part of the 1900s, the first part of the 20th century, three cables were cut by an underground mudslide off the
from an earthquake.
Shelves.
Yeah, it shook this mud down this shelf underwater.
Yeah, so you had a huge wave of mud that cut the continental cable to England, the telegraph cables.
Yes, and it moved very quickly.
It moved quickly. Mm-hmm. They were able to tell how fast it moved and how huge it was.
Because of the cables, they could time when the cables broke, and they knew what the distance was between the cables. They could calculate
the speed
how
of
fast.
The slide.
Yeah, right.
And so a turbidite is a layer of muddy mud. You know, it's watery mud.
Underwater.
Underwater mud.
Rolling
and
things
so,
down the side of the
hill. But it's rolling
fast.
Now, if you put dinosaur bones in that rolls.
It would do the same thing. Yeah,
oh,
and that may be what this was.
So now you told us, you went to dig them. They are disarticulated. They're in order.
Yeah.
Well, how'd they die?
Well, that's interesting because David Minton, some of the listeners may be aware of this speaker who speaks, he's an anatomist and he speaks on creationism topics, and he talked about dinosaurs and he says, you know, everybody's always wanting to know what killed the dinosaurs? And evolutionists talk about it like this. They say, well, maybe little bitty mammals like shrews, mice, started to nibble on the outside of the eggshells and crack the eggs and killed the babies. And we didn't have any more baby dinosaurs. And there they went. Maybe viruses or some kind of disease or famine or maybe some global change in weather or, you know, as one Larson Farside showed.
They
were smoking. And that's what took care of the dinosaurs. And it's funny because David Menton added this. He said, you know, whenever we find dinosaur bones, it looks like the dinosaur drowned.
Oh, glub, glub.
Yeah. And he was wondering, I wonder why science might not say that water killed the dinosaurs.
Well, that's, if they say that, you know what, Stan? They got to use one of those five-letter F words they don't like using.
Oh, yes.
Flood.
Flood.
Now, they don't mind the word flood, but when you precede it by the word global.
Global flood.
That makes it kind of like hard to swallow.
That. Even though every dinosaur we've ever found, dinosaur bone, fossilized bone, has been buried in sedimentary rock, meaning
water deposited.
That's why we have fossils. Wow. So this is really good evidence for the flood to find all these dinosaurs at the end of the dinosaur layers buried here in one big mass grave, so to speak. You know, that as the scientists say, supposedly this was 65 million years ago. But as I was digging through some of this mud and poking around with these dental picks, you know, use your hammer, rock hammer with a pick on the end, and then you use a dental pick when you find something and you dig around it, uncover it. And lifting it out is very interesting. But when I'm digging through there, I could find occasionally little bits of plant matter, like a little twig or maybe something, you know, that was carbonized. It was still flexible, soft kind of. And it looked all the world to me like a smidge, just a nudge under 65 million years, maybe just a little younger than that.
You
know,
radiocarbon hands of yours or carbon-14 hands,
it
you know.
It sure looked younger than 65 million years. Buried in mud, it seemed fresher than that to me.
Well, actually,
and the bones were fresh.
You know,
even.
I think that there's a text in the Bible I like to share for a torpedo text today that kind of points
text.
To maybe the timing
Sink
of this
beagle.
Event.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the book of Genesis, one of our favorite books, Genesis chapter 7.
Our favorite book.
Says in Genesis 7, beginning in verse 18, the water prevailed and increased greatly on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the ark's floating. The water prevailed more and more, that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher. What, about 22 and a half feet?
22 and a half.
And the mountains were covered, and all flesh that moved on the earth perished.
All flesh.
Birds, cattle, beasts, every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind, all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, died.
Died. Except everything died that was on the dry ground. That sounds like that would include dinosaurs.
Yep.
And they were covered up with water and mud and all of that. And that's what we saw out in the badlands of Wyoming this summer at our dino dig.
So what you're saying is the evidence seems to fit the biblical record.
That would fit.
In the sense of mass burial. Rapidly,
a big
mass catastrophe. This
of
is
big animals.
A burial ground of big animals, 20,000 to 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all dying at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the scientists like to go to asteroids, because they sure like to think of flood, but they all realize they have to admit that little secret. It wasn't mice that did it. It was an asteroid.
Asteroid or something. They'll admit catastrophe, and they'll even admit maybe a little bit of water was involved. But
had to put them in sediment somehow.
Somehow. Anyway, we like to remind our listeners that the scientific evidence is out there. You can have faith in God's word.
Tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from 7 Standard Castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.